Good morning, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion from the Book of Common Prayer. Today is the second Sunday after Trinity. Can I give you our church news, or rather non-news, now? You'll have read that churches are being allowed to open for private prayer from this week. It is then up to individual churches to make appropriate arrangements. It's quite complicated. Social distancing, separate ways in and out, removing all touchable objects, cleaning up after every use, and so on. We are looking into all this, but cannot say when the church will again be open. We ask for your patience while we find a safe way of using our dear church. Our Rector Susie is on the mend, and we look forward very much to her return. A word about taking our communion service at a distance. Protestant theology has always emphasised that our service is about remembering Jesus' death and the benefits he gained for us. At the 9 o'clock services, I've been using an introduction which many have said is helpful. For most of us in this time of pandemic, receiving the bread and wine according to the practice of the Church of England is impossible. This prayer of spiritual communion, taken from Great St. Mary's Church in Cambridge, is a beautiful way to remember Jesus and abide in him. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. And so we come to our prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. And the collect for the second Sunday of Trinity. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The first reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 42 and 43. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? why so disturbed within me. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Izar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful and wicked men. You are, God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The Holy Gospel is written in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be now acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. take a text from Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 from our reading this morning. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me. In a series of Bible readings and sermons, we're now celebrating God's goodness to us. We're expressing our thanks to him for all the blessings he's given us. We worship him with joy and gladness. We thank him for creating us and preserving us, for saving us and redeeming us. But today our theme is more challenging. We're asked to rejoice and be glad if we face persecution. This may indeed be a test of our devotion to Christ and our trust in his loving care for us. This theme is actually especially appropriate to this church of St. Margaret, since she is celebrated as one of those who died for her faith. We rejoice in the faithfulness of all martyrs who have died for Christ through the ages, from the early days of the church to the present day. Our faith owes much to theirs. We can be both challenged and inspired by their example. It's not known how much of St. Margaret's story is fact and how much is fiction. I don't think that should bother us that much at all. Maybe a tall story that she was swallowed by Satan in the form of a dragon. It's said that the cross which she wore round her neck so irritated the dragon that it vomited her out. More plausibly, it's also said that she refused to give up her faith as a Christian or to marry a pagan, and that so she was beheaded. We do know for a fact that many Christians died in the last great persecution under the Roman Emperor Diocletian in the year 303 AD. They refused to abandon their faith or to worship the emperor as a god, and their resolution contributed to the conversion of the official religion of the empire from paganism to Christianity. In celebrating St. Margaret, we celebrate them all. Persecution of Christians continues today in many parts of the world. We are kept particularly well aware of that in this church through our support for the charity Open Doors. And the situation was made very clear in a report last year by the Bishop of Truro, Philip Mount Stephen. The then Secretary of State, the then Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, commissioned a review of the persecution of Christians worldwide and the attitude to it of foreign policy in the UK. That of itself was quite remarkable. Western nations don't often see themselves as called to be champions of Christianity in countries overseas. The report by Bishop Mount Stephen makes very interesting and perhaps alarming reading. It describes persecution of Christians as a growing global phenomenon, which might deserve the name of Christophobia. The type and degree of official and unofficial hostility varies from one country to another, and it's associated with what the report calls aggressive nationalism, citing both China and India amongst the examples of a more general trend. This may be combined in many countries with increasing identification of the nationalism with a particular religion, for example, with Islam in much of the Middle East and North Africa. Countries that officially support freedom of religion as a fundamental human right may nevertheless discriminate in practice against Christians and other religious minorities. Moreover, persecution is not always due to government policy at all. In countries where governments are relatively weak, persecution may be the work of militant groups or terrorists. In other cases, persecution is by family members. Overall, the report concludes that some 250 million Christians are subject to persecution of one kind or another. Hearing that, our first reaction must be to pray for all those of our brothers and sisters who are suffering in one way or another for the faith we share. Our next response might be to thank God that we ourselves do not suffer any serious persecution for our faith in this country. But then we must surely pause and look again at our text this morning. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Hearing such words, we have to ask ourselves why it is that we are not persecuted for our faith. Why do we not face much hatred? Why do we face indifference rather than hostility? Why are there no martyrs in this country today? Part of the explanation is surely that society has become much more tolerant. It's not just Christians that are largely free from persecution in this country. The same is true of those of other religions, provided that they don't stir up social disorder or threaten violence. Freedom of worship and freedom of belief are written into our customs and laws. This is a very different situation from that faced by the early church or by the church today in many parts of the world. But is that the whole of the explanation? Perhaps we are tolerated so easily because we don't preach the gospel as boldly or as forcefully as we should. Are we too keen to avoid giving offence? Have we watered down the message of our faith because we want to make it easier for the world to accept? Do we challenge the beliefs and practices of our contemporaries, or do we prefer not to risk making trouble? We would not like to be called extremists. It's not hard to think of some situations in which Christians might feel that they should behave very differently from most people in our society, even perhaps when they should break the law. Think of a Christian teacher of religious education required to take a neutral position towards all faiths and none. Think of a Christian nurse forbidden to speak about confession and the forgiveness of sins to a patient nearing death. Think of any Christian who, because of their understanding of Jesus' teaching, gives support to migrants whose claims of asylum have been rejected. In such cases, even in this country, Christians could find themselves in conflict with the law. More often, we will just find ourselves at odds with the standards of behaviour expected in a permissive society. This doesn't result in persecution, but it can lead to painful discord within families or between friends. Most often, we will just keep quiet, not wanting to be unpopular, or uncertain indeed what our own standards actually are. We don't live in a world like that of the Roman Empire, as described in the New Testament. We may count ourselves lucky for that. Certainly, we shouldn't seek persecution. We may well thank God and ask him not to put us to the test. But yet, we are confronted by the message of Scripture that says that persecution should be a blessing rather than a curse. Let us then return to our text. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Persecution can be very painful. Why might we be glad if we had to endure it? We can identify at least three reasons why we might find in persecution a reason to rejoice. The first reason to rejoice would be that we are sharing the experience of God's faithful people. Our reading reminds us that the prophets of the Old Testament often faced hostility when they brought God's message to his people. The opposition that the first apostles faced actually confirmed that they were speaking the genuine word of God, like their predecessors in the Old Testament. They were in good company. The second reason for those who are persecuted to be glad is that their reward in heaven will be great. Compared with an eternity of blessedness in heaven, a few brief years of hardship, even a painful death here on earth, must count as next to nothing. The consolation for suffering persecution now will be that we have the approval of God, that he acknowledges us as his faithful servants and true. There is also a third, less familiar reason to rejoice in times of persecution. It's expressed by St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians. He says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church." And by St. Peter in his first letter, "Rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So, if we suffer for Christ, it is suggested that our suffering becomes a sacrifice joined with the sacrifice of the cross. So there are these three reasons to rejoice in times of persecution. Those who suffer persecution can thank God that they belong to a fellowship of prophets and martyrs. They can thank God that their faith and courage are recognized by God and enjoy his approval. They can rejoice that they're sharing in the redemptive sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Blessings in our gospel reading may not be for us, but they do present us with a serious challenge. How would we respond if we were ever to face a real threat of persecution, even a threat to life itself, like that faced by Christians in the early days of the church? Would we be bold and courageous? Would we even rejoice in our sufferings, like St. Peter or St. Paul? It is, of course, just a hypothetical question. There is, in fact, no possibility, almost no possibility, that any of us will actually ever have to suffer as martyrs for our faith. Nevertheless, it is a question well worth the asking. Our answer will show the extent of our commitment to our faith. So let us ask ourselves the question: would we be ready to die for Christ? If so, would we count ourselves as blessed? I hope we can answer, rejoicing, yes, we would gladly die for him. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We come to our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications, and to give thanks for all, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Let me just take a moment to bring before God those people whom we would especially commend him this morning. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. We say our confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and it institutes, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death, until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave them thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he gave them thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour, thy goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we give glory to God together. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today, and remain with you always. Amen.